Along this coming Sunday morning, so just wanted to make you aware of that. I believe that was. Want to say welcome to everybody who's here with us and everybody who's there with us online. Thank you for being with us. Glad to have you with us on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter. If you want to give us any prayer updates, let me just remind you, on Wednesday nights, we need to do that on Facebook. That's what we try to watch for the live, for any of your comments. You can do it on any of the others, and we'll see that after the service, but we'll be watching on the Facebook live there. So just want to encourage you to take the time to do that. Welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming. If you're at home and you have access to the church website, go to HighlandBaptistChurch.com. It's over under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin for this past Sunday. I encourage you to pick up one of these if you didn't this past Sunday that you're here in person. The children's worship bulletins are also under that tab. There's some in the windowsill to my right over here. And then also we have the prayer list that's there for those of you who are at home. So I encourage you to get that downloaded so you can follow along with us. If you need one of these in person, they're on the front pew. Please grab one of those as we begin. Also, while you're there on our church website, go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab there. You can do your online giving, your regular giving. You can still give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. You can go ahead and start giving to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. That is also on there, as well as a few other designated, but you can give your regular budget offering there too. You can do that with the envelopes that are in the pews in front of you. If you need these, they're in the windowsills or on the tables at the doors, so be sure to grab one of those for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We don't have the Annie Armstrong Easter offering ones yet, but those will be coming. Do want to encourage you, if you have not picked up one of these, to be praying for our missionaries that are serving in Moldova. Those are over here in the windowsill to my right, so be sure to pick up one of those and continue praying for them. Just want to remind you of one other thing, too, with our association. Brother Matt Ledbetter had shared with us one of our church planters there in Encampment, Wyoming, had a church back out on them for some construction after demolition had been done. They have some bare bones that need to be fixed in the parsonage, some sheetrock, some cabinets, some staircase flooring, all those kinds of things. If you would be interested in doing any of that come this spring, they're putting together a team to go from our association. We could also put a team together here from our church if we had enough. I know I had a couple that asked me about it this Sunday. You can see me. You can call the association office. They'll be glad to get you plugged in either way that you want to do that, or you can call the church office if you're at home there. Also, just want to remind you, too, is what you see on the screen there is the YouVersion Bible app. You can scan that QR code that's on your screen at home. In person, you can do that too. Just kind of zoom in there, and it'll help you to download that app on whichever platform you're on. It goes to either one. Also, once you get there, you just search for our church, Highland Baptist Church. Click on our church and the Bible reading plan that we have right now for our 30-day prayer challenge is Lord, Hear Our Cry. So I want to encourage you to get that downloaded. You can see it there. Hopefully you can see that on your screen. That's by Jack Graham. There's some prayer guide in that. There's some scriptures to read. We had a great response last year in reading through the Bible chronologically and the reading plan that we put up there. We're going to continue to change it throughout the year, but it's going to be focused on prayer throughout this year. So just want to encourage you to get that downloaded. And you can begin that anytime. You don't have to have began on January 1st. You don't even have to begin on February 1st. You can begin that anytime you want. It's just a 30-day prayer challenge that you could begin reading through scriptures and praying for some specific things for your life and for the life of the church. And then also don't forget that our Duck River Baptist Association has our Men's Night of Worship that's coming up on February the 28th. There's a lot of other things that are coming up before then. You can see all those in your bulletins. But this one I wanted to just continue to remind you about. This is going to be at Rutledge Falls Baptist Church. We're going to be having a barbecue competition with the guys. So if you want to be a part of that, you can scan the QR code. You can also scan the QR code to register there. But if you're going to be a part of the competition, they would like to know that in advance. We want to make sure we've got plenty of food there for that event, and so they're going to be doing that. But to register, you just call the association office. You can call our church office. We'll be glad to get you plugged in with that. Our keynote speaker is going to be Jerry Pullum, who is the pastor over at Trinity Baptist in Manchester. And so I want to encourage you, if you can, put that on your calendar, make plans to be there. It's going to start at 4 o'clock with the meal, and then 5 o'clock with the worship with our men. There'll be a women's night of worship that'll happen later in the year. There'll be a youth night of worship, and there'll also be a hymns night of worship. We try to do that in different places throughout the association, so this one will be at Rutledge Falls. I'm sure the next one will be somewhere down in Franklin County, or maybe even over in Grundy County. So just want to remind you of that, let you know about that. Keep that on your radar with those things that are coming up. Brother Mike?
Good evening. Well, we've got one. We don't sing a lot, but we're going to give it a shot tonight. Old Master, Let Me Walk With Thee, page, or hymn 279. If you would, just stand with us, and we'll see what we can do in praising the Lord. Old Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. Ms. Gail?
Take your prayer list. Hopefully at home you've had a moment to get that downloaded. There's quite a few that we've added to the list that we want to give you some updates of what we do know from some individuals. So we will probably go through all of the Highland Baptist Church family. We'll pick up about half of the friends and family list and then go over all our nursing home and assisted living list. So if you're at home, please go over to Facebook. I'm going to go ahead and go over there myself, just so that I can be following along also to make sure my volume down. All right, that way I can follow along with any comments that you might leave there of any to add to the prayer list. Some of you have already given me some of those from home earlier today so that I could add those to that, and we did get those on there. So as you look at your prayer list on your Highland Baptist Church family, I want to continue member Carolyn and S.W. Stone. Both of them have some ongoing things that are happening there. Miss Carolyn is back at home now, but just keep both of them in your prayers, especially Brother S.W. Remember Arthur Hargrove in your prayers. Continue to remember Miss Betsy Farrell with her medical issues. Remember Mark Raymond. He has some medical issues. We have down at the bottom of that list, we have also his family. His father passed away, and so we want to remember him and that. We don't know anything about the arrangements. We sent a call out about that today. So just keep that family in your prayers, as his father did pass away. I know that was one of his prayers, that he would pass peacefully and on into the hands of the Lord. So we just praise the Lord that God answered that prayer. I want to remember Miss Sandra Wells, Bill Warren. He has some ongoing COPD issues. Amy Jackson, she keeps going back and forth some. She was out sick today again, and so just keep her in your prayers. Keep George Duncan in your prayers with the infusions that he's been having. Ken Tatum's still has the bone cancer and chemo treatments, but they're not as often now. Remember Diane Tatum also with her hip issues and taking care of him. He's here when he can be here, so just keep both of them in your prayers. Pray for Gordon Jackson. He usually is watching online also, so keep him in your prayers as he's recovering at home. Brother Tommy Griffin, he still has some good days, has some bad days, and wasn't able to be here this past Sunday, but keep him in your prayers with his ongoing medical issues. Miss Cindy Ingram, who's recovering at home. Miss Kay Williams, keep her in your prayers with her medical issues. Carolyn Waller, she had her surgery, and things are progressing, but she still has a ways to go. They want her to be walking about a mile. She's still walking with her walker for right now, but by the time she goes back in another month or so, they hope to have her at the point where she's at least walking a mile. So pray for that things will go better. She's not in as much pain as she had been, and so we just praise the Lord for that. Gail McBride had back surgery also. She is back at home. She has been in lots of pain, so they did have to put some longer screws in her back. The bone was more brittle than what they thought. I believe she does have a brace also, and so keep her in your prayers. Keep Johnny in your prayers as he's taking care of her too. And then remember Miss Gayla Everett. She also has two broken vertebrae in her back, and they've not been here for several weeks. They try to keep me updated on where they're at with things, but she has two broken vertebrae. She is going to be having surgery in the near future. They did not know when that specifically would be yet, but keep Gayla in your prayers with that. And then, of course, we've already mentioned Mark Raymond's family and the passing of his father. Any other Highland Baptist Church family that we need to mention there? All right. On our friends and family side, we'll start with Peggy Doyle with about halfway down, a little more than halfway down. We got Peggy Doyle with kidney cancer. Mickey and Tawana Miller had a house fire. Have not had an update recently on them. The Yates family also, that was some young children in their teens and upper teens that were a part of that accident. So keep them in your prayers. Jerry Williams, how's Jerry? Or Jimmy. Sorry, I don't know why I said Jerry. I looked at that wrong. Okay, so keep Jimmy Williams, that's Roger Williams' brother, in your prayers as he seeks some further treatment. Remember Ken Crawford, who's a friend of Brian Tate's with medical issues. Mary Leibig, they have sent her to a new facility down near Lookout Mountain, and she seems to be adjusting mostly there, but just continue to keep her in your prayers, as well as some family members there who are having to adjust to that also. Remember Lonnie Lance, who is Miss Faye May's brother. He has cancer. Remember Hanka Graham, who has cancer. Any update there? Okay. Remember Kim Saunders with medical issues. Ashley Collins, this is our daughter. She broke her elbow, had surgery this past week. Things are progressing, not as fast as she wants, and so keep her in your prayers. They did have to put a plate in her elbow, two screws there, and another screw further up in the arm, in the forearm there. And so keep her in your prayers as she continues to recover. She's having some swelling still, but that seems to be going down each day. But patience and having time for that to heal and everything. So just keep her in your prayers for that. She goes back February 3rd for follow-up. I remember Sherry Williams, Sherry Williams, who is Daryl Williams, the pastor at Harmony Baptist, is his wife. She has breast cancer. Remember Lee Stallings, who is Andy Stallings at First Baptist Church, Tullahoma. He's one of the associate pastors there. She had a pacemaker placed about a week and a half ago. Keep her in your prayers. Roy Slaughter, who is the pastor at First Baptist Hillsborough, also has cancer and is having some cancer treatments. Alton Scroggs, who is at Cumberland Baptist Church, he has knee replacement, and his wife is also recovering from shoulder replacement. So keep both of those in your prayers. And then also, we mentioned this before, the family of Ryan Bond. He passed away, and just want to remember that family. And then also Angela Wallace, who has lung biopsy on Thursday. That is a friend of Leanne Wells. She asked if we would put that on our prayer list too. So keep those in your prayers. Any others that we want to add there, or any other updates maybe somebody even that we didn't go over. Okay, don't see any on Facebook there. But on our nursing home list, we have Miss Birdie Davis at Brookdale, Miss Beverly Daniels, who is back at Morning Point, Hoyt Farrell at Legacy Nursing Home, Mary Lee Stringfield at Lynchburg Nursing Home, Miss Beth Kidd at NHC Rehab, and Miss Catherine Smith had been in the hospital, but they have moved her to NHC Tullahoma. And so I want to pray for all of those as we go to the Lord in prayer. Any others? I don't see any on Facebook there, so let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the privilege that we even have because of that grace and mercy to come before your throne of grace, to call upon you, to seek intervention for each one of these that we are uplifting in our hearts and in our prayers tonight, and even others, Lord, that maybe we didn't go over their names specifically tonight. Lord, we know those individuals, and you know those individuals even better than we do. And so, Father, we want to come before you before we even uplift a prayer for them to ask, Lord, that you would forgive us of our sins. You have told us in your word that if we regard iniquity, if we hold on to sin in our lives, we don't deal with that, we don't confess that, repent of that, then you will not hear from heaven. And so, Father, I pray that there would be no hindrance in our prayers with you. May we come with clean hearts, asking your forgiveness, your cleansing by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, so that you would hear these prayers and answer in a powerful way. We not only want these prayers answered, Lord, for the sake of these individuals, to bring glory, your glory into their lives, but also, Lord, to be able to use it as a testimony of your saving power. Lord, that if you can heal people physically, you can also do the greatest work spiritually to bring people to faith in Christ. And so, Father, we just pray that you would just burden it upon our hearts to be praying for these individuals. Some of these are going through some long-term difficulties, Lord, and they just need your presence with them. They need the Spirit of God to uplift them, to encourage them, to embrace them in your grace and your mercy and your love. Father, we pray that you would show yourself in their lives in a powerful way. Lord, that you would just make yourself known, that those who know you already as Lord and Savior would be encouraged to keep pressing on one moment at a time, one day at a time, not getting overwhelmed with the situations that they're in, but knowing, Lord, that some way, somehow, you're going to use this to bring glory to your name and to bring good into their lives. Lord, ultimately, we know that every one of us are going, as believers, are going to enter into your presence face to face one day in heaven. And so, Father, we pray that that would be extended for these individuals, that they might continue to be that living witness and testimony of your saving grace and mercy to their friends, to their family members, to the caregivers and nurses and doctors who are around them, Lord, that they would see your power at work and displayed in their lives to show your majesty and your glory. Father, we just want to make much of you. And Father, we just pray that you would divinely intervene in each one of these individuals' lives and touch them and bring healing to their bodies. We know that you are able. We know that you are capable. We just come on behalf of them asking, Lord, that you would do that for their sake and for your name's sake. Father, we just pray that you will wrap each one of these in your loving arms. And for those, Lord, who may be on this list or others who may be on our hearts who don't know Christ, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would use these situations that they're going through to help them to see that there is no other place for them to turn but to you. And may they turn to you. May they find strength in you. May they find salvation in you and your presence through Jesus Christ. And Father, we just pray that you would use these situations to bring them to faith in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Father, we just pray for our kids who are here tonight, whether they're in Awana, whether they're in youth. We just ask for your hedge of protection about them, Lord. They are bombarded by so much of the world and the world's views. Father, I pray that you will guard their hearts and their minds. And Lord, I pray that as we have opportunity as a church, may we continue pouring into their hearts and pouring into their lives the truth of the Word of God. Lord, that is where faith comes. It comes through hearing the Word of God. And I pray that there would be many of these young people, whether they're in the children's group in Awana or whether they're in our youth group, that as they're hearing your truth, Lord, may it be a seed planted in their hearts, and may it grow in and produce fruit in their lives of salvation and fruit of other souls being saved, whether it's family or friends or whoever it might be. Have your hand upon them. Be with our teachers, Lord, and just lay a special emphasis upon their hearts to be looking for those opportunities to share the good news of the gospel with those kids, as you might bring those opportunities, even maybe tonight, in their hearts and their lives. We just want to continue, God, to see the waters of baptism stirred, continue seeing your Spirit at work and souls being saved. And Lord, seeing your Spirit and your hand at work in believers being faithful in their walk with you. And so, Father, we just pray that you would lead us and continue to guide us as a church. Father, we uplift our missionaries to you. We pray, God, that you will be with all of our North American missionaries. We pray in particular for our missionaries in Wyoming and the need that is there. Lord, if you are desiring for us to go, impress that upon our hearts, Lord, to use those talents and abilities that you've given us to do your kingdom work through those ways, to help those churches to be able to reach more lost people in their communities. We pray for our missionaries in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and just can continue to pray, God, that you'll continue to bless them. And maybe you're leading some of us to go there this coming summer. I know some are from our church, and we just pray, God, that you will bless them as they go to share the gospel. And Father, I just pray for our missionaries who are serving overseas in Moldova and many other places around the world. Father, we pray that you will continue to protect them, continue to impress upon them, Lord, what you would have them to be doing. Bring other workers alongside of them. We know our missionaries in Moldova, Lord, have some missionary friends there who are leaving to come back to the States, and that's difficult, Lord, at times, especially with transition there, with family attachments that the kids especially have made. And so, Father, I just pray that you would send other laborers into the harvest there to bring about many people coming to faith in Christ. And so, Father, we also pray tonight that you would lead us and guide us as we are gathered here in our adult Bible study time. As we look once again at the book of Jeremiah, Lord, I pray that your word would be powerful, your word would be alive, it would be sharper than any two-edged sword, it would pierce our hearts, Lord, it would be a lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. Lord, that you would use your word to transform and to change our hearts and our minds, that our minds would be more conformed to the image of Christ through the power of your word. And Father, I pray that as we study this word tonight, may it be alive to us. May we see the relevancy of this wonderful book of Jeremiah and what you want us to see from chapter 9 here. So bless us tonight. Keep us all safe, Lord, with the weather that's changing constantly, it seems, through this coming weekend. And Father, we just pray that your will be done, that you'll keep us safe during those days. And just ask your blessings on our service tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles tonight, if you will, turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, there are 26 verses. We're going to read all those verses here in just a moment. Want to be faithful to do that, as there's a lot that are in these verses, but there's a couple of verses in particular that we want to hone in and focus on. Jeremiah chapter 9, and verse 1 down through verse 26. So if you have your Bibles there, hopefully at home you have yours out. Jeremiah 9, verse 1, it says, "Oh, that my head were waters, and my feet and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the desert a traveler's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go away from them. For they are all adulterers, a company of treacherous men. They bend their tongue like a bow, falsehood and not truth has grown strong in the land. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone beware of his neighbor, and put no trust in any brother, for every brother is a deceiver, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor, and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity, heaping oppression upon oppression, and deceit upon deceit. They refuse to know me, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and test them, for what else can I do because of my people? Their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceitfully. With his mouth, each speaks peace to his neighbor. But in his heart, he plans an ambush for him. Shall I not punish them for these things, declares the Lord? And shall I not avenge myself on a nation such as this? I will take up weeping and wailing for the mountains, and a lamentation for the pastures of the wilderness, because they are laid waste so that no one passes through, and the lowing of cattle is not heard. Both the birds of the air and the beasts have fled and are gone. He says, I will make Jerusalem a heap of ruins, a lair of jackals, and I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without inhabitant. Who is the man so wise that he can understand this? To whom has the mouth of the Lord spoken, that he may declare it? Why is the land ruined and laid waste like a wilderness, so that no one passes through? And the Lord says, because they have forsaken my law that I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice or walked in accord with it, but have stubbornly followed their own heart and gone after the Baals as their fathers taught them. Therefore, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed this people with bitter food and give them poisonous water to drink. I will scatter them among the nations whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send the sword after them until I have consumed them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider and call for the mourning women to come. Send for the skillful women to come. Let them make haste and raise a wailing over us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids flow with water. For a sound of wailing is heard from Zion. How we are ruined. We are utterly shamed because we have left the land, because they have cast down our dwellings. Hear, O women, the word of the Lord, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth. Teach your daughters a lament, and each to her neighbor a dirge. For death has come up into our windows. It has entered our palaces, cutting off the children from the streets and the young men from the squares. Speak thus, declares the Lord. The dead bodies of men shall fall like dung upon the open field, like sheaves after the reaper, and none shall gather them. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all those who are circumcised merely in the flesh. Egypt, Judah, Edom, the sons of Ammon, Moab, and all who dwell in the desert, who cut the corners of their hair, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart. When I read that, I thought, wow, how Jeremiah speaks what we're learning about in the book of Romans, about circumcision. Circumcision wasn't just to be a physical thing. It was to be a circumcision of the heart set apart for the Lord. And so I want to take us back to two verses here to really hone in, to see the emphasis of what Jeremiah, what God is speaking to us through the prophet Jeremiah. We're going to go back to verse 7 and verse 8. And I want to ask you as we begin tonight, have you ever felt the heat of life pressing down on you so strongly that it seemed like you might just crack under the weight? Maybe it was a sudden illness. Maybe it was some financial loss you had, or a broken relationship, or an unexpected betrayal. If you're honest, you have probably asked, God, why is this happening to me? And there comes a moment in every loving relationship when love reaches a painful crossroad, and you've warned, and you've pleaded, and you've prayed, and you've shown patience, and you've shown mercy, and yet the person you're showing all of that to, yet the person you love continues down a path that is leading only to sorrow. And finally, with a heavy heart, you say, what else can I do? That question is not born out of anger, but out of love, a love that refuses to give up. And that's the question, that's the cry of someone who's desperate not to lose the one they love. That's exactly what we hear here in Jeremiah chapter 9 from God. You know, in this passage, we're going to explore a truth that is both sobering and also comforting, that God's furnace is never about destruction, it's about refinement. And there is a big difference. Jeremiah writes about a God here in this chapter who is deeply concerned about his people. God is looking at his people. These are his chosen people. These are his covenant people who are supposed to be in a relationship with him. And he sees them walking farther and farther and farther away from him. They're lying. They're worshiping false gods. They're mistreating one another. They're hardening their hearts against his truth. And God speaks in words that sound almost human to us. For what else can I do because of my people? In other words, what else can I do to bring them back to me? Now understand, God is not confused here when he's asking that through Jeremiah. He's revealing his heart. He is a father watching his children who are literally destroying themselves. If you've ever had that happen with your own children, it breaks your heart. He loves them too much, he's saying, to let them keep on going the way they're going. He God answers his own question in this passage in verse 7 when he says, behold, I will refine them and test them. He's saying, if love won't reach them through blessing, it will reach them through refining. Now understand what refining is here. Refining is not cruelty. It is covenant love. God refines what he refuses to lose. And so understand that life's heat is not random. The heat of life is designed for believers to show us what is inside in our hearts, to melt what is impure, and to reveal what is truly precious. There are several things we're going to see from these verses tonight. One of the things I want you to see is this, is that God's refining work is driven by his unbreakable love. This refining is not from God out of anger, it is out of his love. When God refers in this verse, go back to verse 1, he says in verse 1, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people, the daughter of my people. He's reminding us, these people still belong to me. I still am in a relationship with them. Even though they are breaking the covenant, even though they are the ones who are turned their backs upon me, I'm still in a relationship. They are still my people. Even in their rebellion, God had not disowned them. You think about that sometimes when we react to other people who hurt us, sometimes we just want to cut them off. That's it. We're done with them. It's not God here. He's not done with them. He doesn't stop loving his people when they fail. He doesn't cancel his covenant when they wander away. He remains faithful even when they are not. And the same is true for us. He remains faithful to us even when we're not faithful to him. God could have walked away. He could have walked away from Israel, but he didn't. He could have said, you made your own bed, lie in it. That's what we say today, isn't it? He could have said, you chose your sin, now live with it. But instead, he says, what else can I do? That's the heart of a father who refuses to give up on his children. If you have children and they have strayed away from the Lord, I want to encourage you to be like God the Father is to you and never, ever give up on them. You keep praying for them. You keep loving on them. You keep showing them Jesus in your life to them, to be a witness to them. This is what we see here. This is the heart of a father who's refusing to give up on his children. Hebrews tells us that the Lord disciplines those who he loves. And understand, discipline is not rejection. It might feel that way when you're going through that discipline, but it is not rejection. It is proof that he loves you. God does not discipline strangers. He doesn't. He disciplines sons and daughters. If God is dealing with you, it's because you belong to him. And so notice God's concern for his people. That question, how shall I do for the daughter of my people? What else should I do? It reveals this profound truth here. He is intimately concerned for them and for us. He does not approach our lives with casual indifference. He already knows your weaknesses. He already knows your stubbornness. He already knows your hidden sins. And yet, he is determined to save you. There are people who puzzle even those who love them, who resist guidance, who stubbornly cling to the patterns that harm them. You know, we puzzle sometimes over those who love those who continue to turn their backs upon them. And yet God, he refuses to abandon them. He's willing to even use the furnace of life, the trials and the heartbreaks, the moments that test every fiber of our being, so that he could bring them back to himself. There's a story I heard about a young man who was raised in a godly home. He seemingly was upright and religious. Outwardly, he had everything. He had good manners. He had good education. He had a good reputation. But inside, pride had taken root. And one day, under the pressure of a small temptation, he told a lie. And that guilt and that shame crushed him. And it destroyed the walls of self-righteousness that he had built up for himself. But that's where he needed to get to, because only then could he cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, the furnace had done its work. The furnace had revealed the truth and directed him to Jesus Christ. That's how God works. He uses what we resist to lead us to what we need the most. And he would rather not have to, but if you continue to reject him, sometimes the most loving thing that God can do is to make us so uncomfortable that we have to change. When he sees pride growing, when he sees sin taking root, when he sees our hearts that are drifting, he steps in not to destroy us, but to restore us. And that is the fire of refinement. The fire of refinement is a fire of love. The second thing I want you to see here is that when grace is resisted, God uses refinement. That's what we're talking about here. God's desire is that we would come to him, and that his people here in the book of Jeremiah would come to him gently through faith. The gospel is simple. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He rose from the grave, and he offers forgiveness to everyone who will believe. That's God's chosen way, but not everybody comes that way. Some are too proud to admit they need mercy. Some are too attached to the sins that are in their lives to let go. Some hide behind religion and self-righteousness. Others keep delaying, thinking that there will always be another chance. I don't have to do that yet. And yet God's concern moves him to action. You see, the text is telling us here that he's saying, I will melt them and try them. I'll cast them into the furnace, put them into the melting pot. Verse 7, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and test them. You know, just like a goldsmith melts metal to remove the impurities. God allows trials in our life to remove the hardness in our hearts. That's not because he's cruel towards us. It's because of his divine love that he loves us, and it's divine love in its sternest form. When people resist grace long enough, God does not abandon them. He changes his method there. He allows pressure. He allows loss. He allows circumstances to shake us up to the very core. Sometimes he's had to do that to a whole nation, to get a nation to humble themselves. We've had that happen in our own history. But he does that not because he delights in showing us pain, not to break us, but to melt the stubbornness that keeps us from him. He does it because he delights in our salvation. He loves us too much to let us go to hell in comfort. And many people have come to Christ only after everything else has fallen apart. When the job was gone, when the marriage was broken, when that terminal diagnosis came, when the heart was crushed. And many times it's in those kinds of moments of desperation that people sometimes finally look up and cry out to God. That is not cruelty, that is mercy. Because every trial is intentional. Every fire carefully applied by a loving God, whose purpose is very clear. We must be melted if we're to be made useful in his hands. That's why he says that in verse 7 about the nation of Israel. Behold, I will refine them and test them. He's not saying I'm gonna crush them and be done with them and wipe them off the face of the earth here. He's doing this to refine them, to get them to where they need to be, to make them useful in his hands. And so the furnace does its work by burning away pride and self-reliance and leaving our hearts ready to grasp the mercy of Christ. Yes, the fire is painful, but the fire of life that he allows is productive, and it's always purposeful. The third thing I want you to see continues along that same line, that the furnace reveals what is really in us. Because understand this, the fire does not destroy gold. That's what he's talking about here with the refiner. It doesn't destroy the gold, it reveals it. When precious metal is placed in the furnace, the heat causes those impurities to rise to the surface so that they can be skimmed off the top. They can be removed. The gold is always there. But it cannot be refined, it cannot be purified without the fire. And in the same way, the trials that God allows in our life don't create what's in us. They expose it. It's already there. Pressure reveals our priorities. Hardships show what you're really trusting in. Suffering reveals what you truly believe. You know, one of the most profound lessons of the furnace is that it strips away all the illusions that we have about ourselves. We often think that oh, I'm stronger. I don't need God. I'm smarter. I'm wiser. I'm more righteous than I really am. God's fire exposes our pride and our self-righteousness and our tendency to rely on our own understanding. See, the furnace humbles us, and it shows us that without Jesus Christ, we are powerless. Even our good works, all the good things you could do, are tainted with selfish motives. Understand this, when life is smooth, it's easy to say, I trust the Lord. But when the ground beneath us begins to shake, when the future begins to be uncertain, when things that we depend on are all stripped away, you quickly discover whether your faith was really in God or what was in your circumstances. God uses the furnace to bring us face to face with ourselves, with pride and fear and selfishness and bitterness and hidden sin. All those things are the impurities that begin to rise to the surface. And that's not God trying to humiliate us. It's God trying to heal us. You can't remove what you will not acknowledge. Many believers are shocked by what comes out of them when the heat is turned up. You can see it many times. People who say they're Christians, they say things when they're under the heat that they never thought they would have said. They feel emotions that they didn't know was there. They discover fears that maybe they buried for years. But understand this, God is not surprised by that. He allows the fire so that those things can be dealt with. The furnace isn't a punishment, it's a cleansing. And so God's goal for the Israelites here, it isn't just humility for its own sake, it is true self-knowledge that leads to dependence on Him. Without being melted, we cling to our self-reliance. We cling to pride. We cling to false righteousness. With the furnace, the heart is softened. And our souls are awakened. And we learn that apart from Him, as the scripture says, we can do nothing. Fourthly, I want you to see that God refines believers, not just unbelievers. You know, another purpose of God's refinement is to develop endurance in your life as a believer. The furnace is never permanent. We may feel like it when we're going through the heat of the furnace. What the furnace means is that there's a greater end on the other side. Because in the same way that blacksmith heats the iron to make it strong and flexible, God allows those trials in our lives as believers to test us, to shape us, to mold us, to strengthen our faith. And that fire produces resilience. It teaches us to trust God in seasons when life seems unbearable. One of the greatest misunderstandings in the Christian life is the idea that once you're saved, God won't ever allow you to suffer again. In truth, some of God's most intense refining work is done in His own children, in you. He refines us not because we're lost, but because we're His. Just like that goldsmith that carefully watches over the fire, never taking his eyes off the metal, God is always watching over you in the furnace. He never allows the heat to be more than what's necessary to accomplish His purpose. Now, you may feel like this is the end. I can't take any more of this, but that's right where God wants you to be, so that you're not relying on anything else. You're calling out to Him, trusting in Him. As believers, many times we can become spiritually complacent. We begin to rely on our own knowledge instead of our relationship with Jesus. We lean on past experiences rather than the present dependence upon Him. We grow comfortable and slowly our hearts begin to drift. And when that happens, God lovingly steps in and He allows weakness so that we'll depend on Him. He allows difficulty so that we will seek Him. He allows frustration so that we'll pray to Him. You see, the furnace is God's way of bringing us back to Himself. And every time that God refines you, He's removing something in your life that would eventually destroy you. He's cutting away in your life what does not look like Jesus Christ. He is shaping you into someone who trusts Him more deeply than you ever did before. He's shaping you into someone who loves Him more sincerely than you ever did before. He's shaping you into someone who depends on Him more fully. And that work is never easy, but it is always worth it, because the furnace also purifies our motives. Some Christians serve God for recognition, some for influence, some for comfort. The fire strips away all those motives, leaving only pure devotion. When the fire is at its hottest, are you still trusting Him? Because it's often in the darkest seasons of life that the heart discovers the most profound truths, that God is enough and that His presence will sustain you. He sustains you in this crisis you are going through, and He will sustain you no matter what comes in the future. It's a profound truth that His love never fails. You see that in the life of the Apostle Paul. Because remember, he described his trials as a thorn in the flesh. And he prayed that the Lord would remove it. And did he? Mm-mm. The furnace didn't destroy him. The thorn didn't destroy him. But what it did is made him more reliant on God's strength rather than on his own strength. You see, God's refining fire always produces the same result when we submit to it. It produces endurance. It produces perseverance. It produces faithfulness that can weather any of the other storms that come in life. And so what is the goal of God's furnace? This is the last point here. The goal of God's furnace is to prepare us for God's service. When God places us in the furnace, when he was placing the Israelites here in the furnace, he had a greater purpose for them. When God places us in the furnace, he always has one goal in mind, and that's to bring us into a deeper, more pure, more complete dependence on him. He's not trying to make us stronger in ourselves. How much pressure can I put on them that they can take in their own strength? No, he's trying to get you to the place that you're not doing that anymore, that you're crying out to him, Lord, I need your help. He's trying to make us weaker in ourselves so that we'll be stronger in him. Understand that the fire removes everything that competes with Jesus. Everything that's competing for Jesus, trying to take first place in our hearts, it removes all of that. Pride's melted away. Self-reliance is broken. False security is stripped away. And what remains is a heart that knows that it has to cling to him and to him alone. See, the ultimate purpose of the furnace isn't just personal refinement. That's a part of it. That's a part of what he's wanting to do here in the nation of Israel when he says, behold, I will refine them and test them. What else can I do because of my people? Because they keep turning their backs on me. I have to let them go through the furnace. I didn't want to, but I have to because I love them, because I care for them. And so the purpose of the furnace isn't just a personal refinement for you. It's also preparation for service to him. You see, we as God's people, we're like a precious metal. We're valuable, but only when we're purified, only when we're ready to be used for his glory. The trials, the losses, the seasons of suffering, all of it is God's method of shaping us for his purpose. When you have gone through the fire, you're able to minister in ways you never imagined you would be able to minister. You're able to speak truth and hope into other people's lives who are going through hurt and pain in their lives. The fire teaches us to trust. The fire teaches us to depend. The fire teaches us to obey. And all of that, he's doing that to shape us for his purpose so that when he calls us to act in his kingdom, to do what he would have us to do, we're ready. Notice this principle in Scripture. Precious metals are only valuable after refinement. God allows the heat to draw out the impurities, to reveal your weaknesses, to expose hidden sin. And the result of that, when you do all of that, when you see the weakness, when it's exposed and you confess it before him, you repent of it, you turn away from it, the result is a life that is ready to be used by God for his highest purpose. And those who have never experienced the furnace often fail to appreciate God's mercy or the richness of his grace. But if you've ever been tried in the fire, you've ever been tested, you've ever been refined, you understand his love in its deepest and most practical sense. You know the joy of depending fully on him. You begin to learn the peace of trusting his wisdom and the thrill of serving in his strength, because God is not interested in making us comfortable. He's interested in making us holy. Holiness, understand, is not perfection. It is wholehearted devotion to Christ. When the furnace has done its work, our prayers change. Our priorities change. Our desires change. You begin to want what God wants. You begin to trust Him even when you don't understand. You begin to value eternal things more than you do temporary things. That's the fruit of refinement. That's where He's wanting to get His people. So you see, this whole description of what He's been talking about here in chapter 9 is how His people have turned away from Him, and He's wanting them to come back to Him, to cry out to Him. How do we know? How do we know when we've been refined? Well, the goldsmith knows the gold is ready when he sees his own reflection in it. And in the same way, God knows His work in us is complete when Jesus Christ can be clearly seen in our lives. That's why He refines us. That's why He allows the heat. He is shaping us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. So understand this, the furnace is not the end. The furnace is not the end. It is a sign of God's love. So if you're in the furnace today, if you're feeling the heat of loss or disappointment or confusion or pain, don't believe the lie that God has abandoned you. He has not. The fire you're experiencing is not a sign of rejection. It's an evidence of His love. He's letting you go through that because He's wanting to make you more mature, more complete, lacking nothing. He disciplines what He calls His own. Just like a loving parent is to discipline children, not because they hate them, not because they're angry with them, but because they love them and don't want them to harm themselves, don't want them to continue going down a path of destruction. He's not destroying you. He's developing you. You see, the furnace is not punishment for hopelessness. It is proof of God's love. For what else can I do because of my people? What shall I do for the daughter of my people, He's saying. That's God speaking from His heart of concern and love, not out of wrath. He's asking the question because He wants to save them, and He wants to save us, and He wants to purify us, and He wants to prepare us for an eternal reward. So those trials and losses and hardships, understand, they are not accidental. They are tools in the hand of a loving God who is shaping us into vessels that are fit for His glory. You might not enjoy the furnace, but you can trust the refiner. He knows exactly how much heat to apply. He never takes His eyes off of you. When He is finished, you will shine with a faith that you never could have produced any other way. And one day you'll look back on that season of your life and you'll see that God was doing something far greater than you ever imagined. And that trial may have nearly broke you, and that trial that nearly broke you was a tool in His hands that shaped you. That pain that confused you was the process that He used to purify you. That fire that frightened you was the means by which God brought you closer to Himself. If you're in the fire, take heart today. Don't despair. Lean into the refining work of the Lord. Allow Him to melt your pride, to purify your heart, to teach you to rely on Him and Him alone. You might not understand the process, but you can understand the potter because His work is perfect. The furnace burns only what needs to be removed, and it leaves behind what is precious. Like that gold that comes forth from the fire, you too will emerge from the trials more faithful, more humble, more ready to serve the King of Kings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You with hearts that are full of gratitude for Your faithfulness, for Your refining love. We acknowledge, Lord, that Your ways are higher than our ways, and Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and yet we choose to just trust Your heart. Even when we don't always understand the fires that You're allowing in our lives, You know our hearts, Lord, better than we do. You know our weaknesses better than we do. You know our hidden sins. You know all the places that we cling to pride and self-reliance. Lord, for those of us who are in the furnace tonight, Lord, we ask for Your mercy and we ask for Your grace. Melt our hearts. Remove all that's not of you. Lord, purify us for your glory. Take away our pride. Take away every pretense. Take away our self-righteousness. Strengthen, Lord, whatever remains that is of Christ. Shape us into the likeness of Jesus. Lord, teach us to trust in you fully. Lord, to lean on your strength, to serve you faithfully, not for our own honor, but for your glory. Father, let us see that even in the heat of the trials of life, let us see that you're near us, that you're working in us. Lord, help us to see that you're never careless with our lives. Lord, that I pray that you would help us to rest in your presence. Help us to find peace in the purpose of the fire. Lord, help us to rejoice that every trial is a part of your loving plan to prepare us to be used for you in eternity and joy in your kingdom. Lord, may the Spirit guide us. May you comfort us. May you reveal, Lord, the treasures of your love, of patience and faithfulness in our hearts. Lord, bring us through the fire. Bring us out refined and humble. Bring us out wholly devoted to you. May our lives, Lord, reflect your grace and our words glorify your name and our hearts delight in your ways. Lord, all that we are and all that we have and all that we will ever be, we surrender it to you right now. And we place our lives, Lord, completely in your hands. That's where you wanted the nation of Israel, and that's where you want us tonight. Trusting that your work in us is perfect, that your love will never fail. Lord, we pray all of this in the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I pray that